I'm Robin Amler of IBS Intelligence. You're listening to the IBS iViews podcast. Yeti Consulting offers quality assurance solutions for the banking and financial services industry and digital payment services. I spoke in depth about payments with Domenico Scafidi, Vice President and Global Payments Industry Lead for Yeti Consulting, beginning with a review of the progress being made on the G20's project to enhance cross-border payments.
I believe that the G20 engagement in the cross-border payments is very crucial for the future of the payment in general. I mean, let's start analyzing the need of strong commitment by the G20. So if you think that today still payments are, especially cross-border payments, are very costly, it takes a long time for a payment to reach the beneficiary account. There is a lack of tracking, so it's very difficult to understand where the payment is, considering the different ring of the chain, so during the path in the cross-border payment life. And there is also a huge manual intervention. All of these, technically, we call the pain on the in the cross-border payments. This is why the G20 decided to take a lead and giving some direction of what governments need to do.
Looking at it from a non-government perspective, of course, we have ISO 20022 now. Is that making a difference? Everybody said to me, it's going to make payments better, it's going to make payments faster, it's going to make payments more efficient. Is it actually doing that?
Yeah, well, Robin, I think that everyone is telling you this is right because there is a lot of excitement in our payment ecosystems. And people are really interested in understanding what they can do better with the new standard. But to be honest, it's not just the standard itself that is improving the experience of payments. But I mean, you know, until you based on my experience in the Bank of England Standard Advisory Panel, when we think about the benefits that you need to build. So in order to make a new standard successful, and in order to be sure that all stakeholders are going to use and to take benefits from the new standards, you need to create benefits. So our focus is building added value services on top of the new standard. So you have a very big bus of data, but then it's important to create standardization of this data. So use cases, added value services based on what the market requirements are.
Well, you mentioned the key word there, data. Does success or failure of improving cross-border payments come down to a matter of data, data quality and interoperability?
Yeah, this one is another very good point because, I mean, we know that especially traditional bank, they have plenty of data in their 40, 50-year-old legacy system. But there is a lack of experience, expertise and the tools to analyze this data and aggregate those data and make them available for the bank clients. So for corporates, for billers, for the bank itself. So creating a sort of a new services based on data. So it's not really the payment itself. We say it's all about data. Why? Because, you know, a payment itself without instruction, information related to what this payment is. This payment is, in the end, is nothing. You can't manage the payment without, as I was saying before, all this information. There is a deep link between data and interoperability because data is not just data itself. Together with the standard is creating the standardization of the data. So it means that allowing a bank to send a payment with only instruction all over the world with the same standard, reducing all that manual intervention, avoiding what we see today, a lot of closed user groups. So international payment providers that are offering services, but not in the name of the global standardization. You need to be a member of that closed user group to get some interoperability. But it's something that is a sort of a tactical, let's say, solution, but not the real one that is coming from the G20 directive.
Banks used to make a lot of money from transaction fees, from interchange fees, but that business model has got to be under pressure now. They have to change.
Yeah, they have to, because, I mean, if you think what is happening here in Europe with some recommendation from the European Union, related to the real-time payments that now are becoming mandatory in November, at least being able to receive real-time payments. And the recommendation is to make these payments cheaper or for free. So it means that, like you were saying, financial institutions used to make a lot of money from the transaction fee. But now that many banks are already offering these services for free, where do they get the money? So where the new business model is coming from? It's coming from services. So what they can build on payments. So the payment is just the bus data where you can make successful the request or the order of the client. But the reality is what you can build on top of this, let's say, this scheme, for instance, loyalty programs or aggregation, again, data that you can make available for the corporate. In other words, what I'm saying is the bank that is becoming partner of the client and not just a provider of payments.
To build on that, what sort of innovation would you expect to see in the value system? Obviously, yeah, business is changing. How does culture need to change within financial institutions?
It's difficult to explain, but it's not really technological innovation itself. But if we don't change the mentality first and creating the internal sponsorship, so internal, I mean, in the bank environment, thinking the way to change the way we bank, so involving also all organizations that are affected by payments. And so it's not just the payment department, but could be also compliance, treasury, and operative offices. So it means that it's important to understand that together with the new technology, with the new standard, is mandatory to change the way today we interact with payments, especially today when there are two important factors: real-time payments that are becoming around the clock 24/7, and of course the way to manage the liquidity according to the Basel III intraday liquidity principles. So having the position of the liquidity 24/7. And here again, if we don't change the mentality, it is difficult that the technology alone is going to change the mentality of the bank. So talking about innovation.
Is all this actually the same all around the world, or is it different? Do market requirements differ around the world? And if they do, what can firms do to explore and meet them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm involved in several payment ecosystems, starting from the one where I'm currently seeing a lot of progress. So the NPA, the new payment architecture here in the UK. But then if we move to Middle East, that I think that is becoming very critical in a positive way, considering the big innovation program that has been put in place in the region. So the NPSS, but also going to the other side of the globe. In the US with the FedNow that recently went live with the real-time payments, we still see a very low volume of payment. So it means that it's not a matter of making investment with a very costly payment solution where a bank overnight can offer big volume or high-level payment experience. But it's more on the financial institution side and in general on the PSP side, partnering with the right solution, with the right consultant companies that can improve the experience, the payment experience they are offering to their client together. So in other words, what I'm saying is, it's not the payment solution itself. And there are several very good in the market and alone that is going to improve that or change the mentality or the business model in a bank and the experience in general, but it's more finding the right partner with small investment in a long-term strategy that day after day help financial institutions to innovate, changing small processes, keeping under control the innovation program, and of course, being able to create a sustainable experience that is good for the financial institution, is good for the client, and for the ecosystem in general. Because, you know, in a real-time payments world, if you want to make the payment world successful, you need to have all stakeholders that are evolving at the same time. It's not just on one side. Otherwise, it's not working, this game.
Well, what you've actually been saying leads me rather naturally on to ask what you can do to help. What does Yethi Consulting bring to the table to help its clients in this?
In Yeti, we spend a lot of time brainstorming and also having a very close relationship with our clients that I have to say they are very happy with us. So what we thought is we are, of course, expert in technology. We know our technology very well. But then we realized one thing. A client alone doesn't have all resources they need to certify a new scheme, to create services and promote the service, test the service in order to, so before offering to the client, but mainly thinking about the time to market. So when the market is asking for a service, you need to be ready to build, provide the service, to make it available in a very short time according to the market requirements. And plus, if you think about the requirement coming from the regulators in terms of systemic risk that I mentioned before, or some very important stress test or certification that need to be done on the mandatory level, is not only, by the way, only when the regulator is asking to perform this test, but is also mainly when something is changing in the environment of the bank. So Yeti is next to a financial institution in all of this. So shorting the time to go live with the new service, understanding all use cases that need to be performed, performance test, because and one important thing is the performance. It's not just joining real-time payments and being able to offer the service to the client, but it's the customer experience. So it means that if I initiate a real-time payment with my mobile phone, I also need to be sure that this payment is going to be fast and is I can trust the service. So it is where Yeti can help. So creating all these experience that allow the bank to be reasonable, successful when it's going to offer the service to the client. And again, we are there also during the lifetime of the service because, you know, new implementation are required. And then, you know, we also try to expand the business of the bank. So helping the bank to create new services on the basic offer that is the one that is at the beginning of the, let's say, of the project. So it's a long path, is a strategy that we call statical because it allow financial institution to offer the service in a short term. But then it's also a long-term strategy because, again, we are partnering with the client, mainly financial institution or PSP, helping them to offer a better service and offer more and more services, so increasing the business in this way. That is, and then I finish, linked to what we said before. It's not based, the new business model is not based on the transaction fee, but the service, the value that a bank is going to offer to their clients.
Domenico Scafidi, Vice President and Global Payments Industry Lead for Yeti Consulting.